When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hollywood Raw Podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glenn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown, where we give you the top 10 stories of the week. My name is Adam Glenn. Over there is Dax Holt. We are two entertainment news journalists with a lot of experience, so we'd like to give you our expertise on it, if we have any insight on everything, and also let you know what's going on in our weeks. Me, myself, I am a street journalist. I work alongside the paparazzi day in and day out. Dax over there, you are like just a connoisseur. You broke the biggest stories of the world. You've been a part of that journey, and you've been in the newsrooms. You've been the broadcasting side. You've been a little bit of a chameleon when it comes to the entertainment news world.
That is true. And you know what I found last night? I was going through some old boxes, and I found my very first like red carpet interview stuff that I did for TMZ that was essentially the test for me to go out, cover red carpets. It was that Peter red carpet I think I've told you about, where I got to interview Dennis Rodman and Kristen Cavallari and Pink and all these people. And watching over again, I had this super bleached out blonde hair. I was on crutches. And I am watching it just cringing the whole time. It is so embarrassing. You see me do, I probably did 15 intros for it. Stumbled, messed up. And then the one interview that I did that was like spot on was Pink, though. It was like I wasn't nervous at all. It was so weird to watch it going, how did I keep my shit together talking to Pink?
Yeah, that's your girl, too. I get that.
Yeah.
I actually had a crazy week this week. I interviewed I only went out one day this week, to be honest, because there's not too much going on. I'm trying to like contain my energy for the Met Gala, and I've been so beat up from allergies that I just want to like kind of take a break. I got just so much little things going on in my life that I want to take a break. But I went out to cover the exits of the Knicks playoff game. They're playing the 76ers. So I ran out there to cover, get there at the end of the game. I got there with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the security's waiting outside the Garden. I'm like, who are you guys waiting on? They go, Cardi B's showing up. I go, Cardi B's showing up? There's 3 minutes left in the game. Why is she showing up now? They're like, I don't know. And Cardi B, with me getting there, 2 minutes later, Cardi B shows up, walks down the street with one guard, very like visible. Like I thought she'd have like an entourage with her, which she didn't. It was just like her and like, her security guy who was like there waiting for her. I was like, Cardi, why are you late? She said wardrobe malfunction, but I get a good shot of her going into the game. And then she walked out of the game with Offset, which we don't even know if they're together or they're not together, but it was a big shot for me. The video, I put it on my TikTok, Dax. The video blew up. I mean, I don't have my phone on me, but I have to check. The video got probably over, I don't know, 700,000 views. And then Cardi liked the video and she reposted it.
No.
Yeah.
She reposted it? Did she like stitch it or something? Or what did she do?
She reposted. I was like so embarrassed. I was like so like, oh my God, I can't believe she liked the video. And I said Cardi B shows up to the Knicks game with 3 minutes left in the game. And yeah. But I did say in the caption, I say Cardi B looks incredible showing up to the Knicks game with 3 minutes left, you know? So I wanted to be like, I'm not dissing her because she looked great, but it's like, man, yeah. what a cool move, you know?
And I already got loud. I'm logging on to check this video out right now.
Yeah, let me know how many views. It just blew up, and the video's in the New York Post today. But Cardi B go on my TikTok.
That's,
I was like,
so dope, dude.
I was kind of like, oh man. And then I actually got, you know who? Yeah, someone else.
Who?
No,
what is it? What is it?
A celebrity who I talked about last week followed me on TikTok, Don Lemon. And I you know, he's a nice guy. I said last week he was a really nice guy and he wanted to follow me on TikTok. I don't know if he saw me from Cardi B's interview or what, but I said it last week. I mean, I was like, hey, he was a really nice guy. You know, I don't know where he stands politically, nor do I care. I'm just a dude. And I was like, you know, he treated me well. But yeah, Cardi B was on my TikTok. I wonder if she was scrolling and saw some of my videos. And
that's right.
Embarrassing.
I wonder if she remembers you though, because you got to like interview her inside that tour bus that one time.
I did. There's no way she remembered. I was about to DM her and be like, "Hey, you know, thanks so much." You know, and But the video is in New York Post. Also, you know who I interviewed this week? Interviewed JB Smoove. Always a nice guy. Always fun. Always cool. Great guy. Interviewed Ben Stiller, which I'm a... It was the coolest I've ever seen Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller is usually... He's kind of like a socially awkward guy in a way. And not a bad way. It's just like he's just sort of like... He doesn't need attention. However, I'm a huge fan of Ben Stiller. And we were talking about the Knicks game. Then I interviewed John Stewart. And John Stewart is a gem. There's... You know, when I talk about the nicest celebrities out there, I forget about John Stewart for some reason. Because he's so nice that you don't even think of him as a star because he's so, like, normal in a way. And I say it respectfully. Like, he's just so one of the best guys. So that was my week. All right.
That's a productive week. You did a good job.
Yeah, it was good. The videos are doing well. So, yeah, it was a good week. Next week's the Met Gala. I got to get my suit ready. No, I am not getting my – I am not going to the Met Gala, but I did get approved to cover the press section at the Carlisle Hotel. I don't even know if I have this new account that is like paying me to kind of go outside there and live stream from there. But normally I've covered the Met Gala so many times. I kind of stay away because I don't like the crowds. It's not as fun for me. You can't interact with them. It's like, I'm just like standing there just holding a camera. That's not my thing. I like to like engage with people and you can't really do that outside the hotels at the Met Gala. But, you know, it's pretty unique. You saw the lineup this week. It's going to be all about the Met Gala next week. I mean, if you're a celebrity trying to get your photo in a magazine next week through a paparazzi setup shot, I wouldn't recommend doing next week because all they're going to run next week is Met Gala
stuff.
That's
all they do. You're going to have no chance. No one's going to care about your fashion.
Exactly. All right. Today is the Raw Rundown. We give you the top 10 stories of the week. And how do we pick those stories? It's brought to you by data. It's brought to you by Google searches. And lastly, it's brought by what we think is the strongest stories, but it's mostly the data. So it's you guys clicking on it or the internet just clicking on it. Before we get to that, we read reviews. We read them so much that we read them out loud when we go to sleep at night. We read them when we wake up in the morning just to boost up our self-esteem. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
Oh, I got one for you, bro. This one is from SingingCat26, 5 stars. Listening While Feeding is the title. It says, love listening to the podcast. I have a newborn and your podcast has been keeping me entertained during those middle of the night feedings. I like hearing about your celebrity encounters and I love the top 10 stories of the week. Keep the new episodes coming. Oh, well, congrats on the new baby.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to us.
All right, let's get to the top 10 stories of the week, starting with number 10.
Number 10, Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe saying that he is, quote unquote, really sad over J.K. Rowling's stand against trans agenda and transphobia. You know, she has been very outspoken over years, coming across as very transphobic, saying that she... you know, really thinks that whatever gender you are born is the gender that you need to be for the, I don't know if it's the rest of your life, but when it comes to competition and sports, she doesn't condone it. Anyway, and then it has really wrapped in a lot of the Harry Potter stars because every time she says something transphobic, then they go to the stars of the movie and they're like, what do you have to say now that the creator of Harry Potter is bashing and saying very mean and hateful things around the world? And Daniel once again got wrapped in and he is just saying that he's just really sad. At the end of the day, he goes, it makes me really sad ultimately because I do look at that person that I met and at times that we met and the books that she wrote and the world that she created and all of it is so deeply empathetic. Which is kind of interesting that she can be so vocally kind of hateful, but yet the Harry Potter world was so inclusive of, you know, different people. And the message that I brought was, I want to say unity. So it's weird that she has gone on this like crusade post all the Harry Potter movies being done. But basically, look, you don't have to, just because she's such a big part of his world and who he is, and he wouldn't be who he is if those books wouldn't have been written. But he goes, I don't owe her my whole life and I don't have to agree with the things that she says. And she basically said for any of the stars that have turned their backs on her, like they're basically dead to her at this point, which I don't think that's the way to handle it. Like, people can disagree with you. We have a lot of, you know, the people who listen to this podcast that can disagree with things that we say on here. And at the end of the day, like, that's sometimes what makes people interesting is that you can disagree, but you don't have to turn your backs on people because they they don't believe in what you don't believe in. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, she hasn't backed down from this. I remember the first time she kind of spoke about the LGBTQ community. Is that what LGBTQ?
Yep.
And she, like, people thought, like, oh, maybe she said she was misguided in the interview. Maybe she kind of said something that was kind of off and she needs to rephrase it. And, like, no, she doubled down, tripled down. I'm like, whoa. So she really has a strong stance when it comes to this community. And you wonder if it's actually affecting the brand. You know, obviously that's a huge franchise. And are people saying, no, we need to kind of boycott or stay away from the brand? It's for people to choose. Obviously, Daniel Radcliffe and other people in the cast have kind of spoken up about it. It's, to me personally, it leaves a weird taste in your mouth.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's like, man, I can't believe like these people could be so far off. And she felt, and she has the right to her opinion, whether you like it or not, but she felt that, you know, I feel very strongly about it, and it is what it is. But
do you remember, like, it was back in like 2020, she had said during an interview, like, kind of what kicked off a lot of this was she referred to, instead of saying like women, she said people who menstruate. That was the terminology, because again, that's how she views a woman in the world. And I remember Emma Watson, Daniel Radcliffe both came out like standing firm, supporting the transgender community, and you know, basically saying trans people are who they say they are. Like, don't start to categorize them based on who menstruates. But I mean, she really goes hard at this stuff. It's kind of wild to think, like, I bet she gets a lot of hate. I bet her Twitter and all of that fills up with hate. I'm surprised she is so staunch on it. Like, just go back to your mansion, lady.
Yeah. I actually think it's very tough on the franchise. And again, she built one of the biggest book, you know, stories out there ever. One of the most successful stories of all time. She kind of created it. And it really, like, she doesn't care about if it could damage her brand. She's very adamant.
What does she care now? She's a billionaire. She's made all the money off of it. Like, I think sometimes when people get older, that filter, that it just goes away.
Yeah, no.
Don't give a fuck anymore.
What's her name? The girl in the movie, the big actress, Emma Watson. I have such a crush on Emma Watson for some reason. I think she's like, when she does interviews and when she has that, she has a great accent. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, she's like, I think she's great. I think she's just so like charming. And she did this thing where I thought it was so funny and cool, where I think she was walking in New York City. It's an old photo, and she posted on her social media. She's walking in New York City, and it's probably Halloween. She sees a young kid dressed as Harry Potter, and she takes a photo with him. She says, hey, can I take a photo with you? And it's just so cute and fun and nice, where it's like, man, this girl is charming. I don't know. I love Emma Watson.
So awesome.
I love her. All right, Dax, number 9.
Sofia Vergara, kind of finally talking about why her and Joe Manganiello kind of really had to split, and saying that it just wasn't fair to have children with him. Like, if you remember, one of the big issues that they had was that she was a little bit older than him, but she also already had a child from a previous relationship, and they got together and they were married for what, like 7 years or something like that. But he really wanted to have a child, and she was kind of like, I've done this. I don't feel like it's fair to bring a child into the world at this point. So she told People magazine, like, look, I was at a different stage. I've had the kid. You devote a lot of time to a young child and to helping develop them. And she goes, that's not where I was. Whereas over the years, Joe became really like focused on wanting to become a father, and it kind of drove a wedge between them. And she goes, it's just not fair. Like, I can't give a kid the time that I need to give a kid at this point. She goes, I wanted to be a grandma. I want to be able to be a grandma at this point in my life. I want to have the kid over, the grandchild over, but then hand it back to the parent and say, okay, we're done here. Like, move along with your life. Like, that's where she is in her life. And I feel like that's actually a very fair perspective.
Yeah.
It sucks they didn't have that conversation more when they were engaged or getting into the relationship. Of, you kind of have to be on the same page with the person you're about to marry when it comes to kids. You can't just expect them to change one day. You know, you go into it and go, are we going to do this or not? Because that could be a huge deal breaker for someone.
Yeah, fair perspective, what she said. I think it's a very fair perspective. I don't think it was a negative thing to Joe because they both have moved on. But a very fair perspective. It's just not where she's at in life. And granted, she was able to kind of make that decision. And rather than try to please someone else, rather please herself. And I think it just made both people happy. You know, he's moved on. She's moved on.
And do you remember? Because she was, I want to say, in her early 50s. And so she was like, look, I couldn't necessarily naturally have a kid, but science, we could have figured it out. I don't know. I liked that she was honest about it and that, yeah, she didn't rip him apart, because being a father, wanting to be a father is no reason to rip someone apart. I think that's a great quality for a guy to want to be a father. And so go your separate ways and let him have that moment in his life, you know?
I did go to a Guns N' Roses concert and they sat next to me and he clearly wanted to be there and she didn't. So that's part, you know, I'm surprised she didn't bring up that. Like, oh, he wanted to go to a Guns N' Roses concert. Because he was like standing on his chair, like basically, like he's a big dude. And I was I was holding him up so he didn't like fall on people. He was having the best time, which, you know, that it was an awesome concert. She was just like hiding. Like she was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But it was an incredible show. I mean, it was at the Apollo. I mean, yeah, that was pretty unique. But yeah, good on her. All right, Dex, number 8.
Kim Kardashian is officially single once again. There has been a lot of talk over the last few months that her and Odell Beckham Jr. have been together. We've rarely seen anything. It's mostly been stories. I think there's one kind of behind-the-scenes video of her touching his face. They kind of look like they were snuggling. I think this was at Beyonce's post-Grammy party or something, or post-Oscar party. Where you see them together. But other than that, nothing has been out there. They've never declared they're together, but it seems like they've decided to go their separate ways, which it's a good thing that they never really went public. You know what I'm saying? Like it becomes more of a blip versus another failed relationship for either person in this situation, I think. So I guess it's people close to them are saying, hey, it was a fun while it lasted. There's no negative feelings towards either one of them. It just wasn't a good fit. And I think she truly enjoys, you know, being able to focus time on her kids and her brands and all of her other things that she has going on. And so dating him might just kind of be a distraction at the moment anyway.
Yeah. Kim's been really interesting, not in the last couple months, within the last year. I mean, we used to have Kim. She was so... I wouldn't say overshot. Like she was so in the news. There was no one who's ever kind of kept their name so relevant in the news cycle more than Kim. And the last year and a half, she's been very, very low key. I mean, she doesn't hide, but she keeps it very, very low key in the news. Am I wrong there? Like we don't really, for a while we were talking about Kim, not even like once a week. It was like three times a week. There was a huge Kardashian type story. But the last year and a half, we kind of never really talk about Kim. Is she one of the biggest people out there? Yes, but we don't really get into her.
We still talk about her quite a bit, but it's not as much. Like there was a point where almost every Raw rundown, we would have 1 to 2 stories about her or her family or something connected with them that involved her. So it was like just nonstop. But yeah, you're right. She has kind of like, she's not as in your face, but I mean, she is one of the most famous people on the planet, so you know anything she does gets news coverage.
Yeah, I mean, good on Kim's awesome. I'm Team Kim, but she's very good. She's very smart about the media. I'm telling you, the two best publicists out there, the two best publicists are Kim Kardashian and Sydney Sweeney. Nobody else understands the business more than those two.
Oh, I watched it, dude.
You watched the movie
after we talked about it. After we talked about it last week, I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go watch Anyone But You on Netflix, see what all the commotion is about. Yeah, it's a whatever.
It's a whatever.
It really
is. It's just like fine or it's like...
It's fine. The acting is really not great. It's very cheesy. I wouldn't say that I'm like, oh, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I mean, you're getting into a campy rom-com. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that it was even like... Sydney's acting that's It's she's not a bad actress. Yeah. She didn't pull me in like a Rachel McAdams. Like, granted, they're very different movies from The Notebook to Anyone But You, but I just, every once in a while you get pulled out of scenes because there's certain actors or actresses in the movie that are just a little cheesier or make it a little goofy. But I think they were kind of trying to have that goofiness in the movie, so playing into it a bit.
Yeah, no, I, you know what movie? It better be good. This guy is doing so much press for this movie that I'm like, man, Ryan Gosling. You know, this movie, what's it called? The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
This movie for Ryan Gosling, The Fall Guy, better be good because he's doing so much press for it. And I saw the trailer. I wasn't really impressed by the trailer. I do like Ryan Gosling. I actually think Drive was a great movie. I think La La Land goes in the top 10 movies of this decade for me, by the way. Was it last decade?
It
was, came out in 2016. In the 2000s, that era, I think La La Land was a fantastic movie.
I don't think I've seen anyone completely re-change their image like Gosling has over the last 2 years. We saw it with Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds did that where he completely changed the public persona. He became this like fun, crazy personality, which everyone like fell in love with. And I think that's what Ryan Gosling is doing right now. He has become this fun, interesting person where it's not just an actor, but it's like the personality that people are really starting to gravitate towards.
Yeah, he's the man. All right, Dax, what number are we at now?
We are on number 7.
Number 7, Dex.
Harvey Weinstein. It looks like the prosecutors in this court case, if you remember, this whole thing basically fell apart. The New York Appeals Court overturned his 2020 rape conviction. We talked about that last week on the Raw Rundown. Well, it looks like prosecutors are aiming for a fall retrial of the rape conviction that was overturned. They want to get him back into court. They want to make sure that this man sees some justice for all the things that he has done. Speaking about him, just because he's a bad dude, I want to say that make sure you listen to this next week's episode that we got coming out on Wednesday, because we talk about Hollywood's biggest dirtbags. And it is a great episode just talking about some of the most gross, vile humans to be in Hollywood, and I don't know, I enjoyed talking about it. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's for me because you know, we do a lot of research on these guys, and I know we covered it, but when do we go back to like realize how bad these guys were? And these are people we covered, some of these people I sort of got to like be around a lot, and like, man, they were evil people. They were
terrible
people. And it's so what's it do with Harvey?
I think you guys will enjoy the episode. I think you guys will enjoy it. And that'll be out Wednesday.
So what, tell me, so what's going on with Harvey though?
That's basically it. I mean, we already talked about in depth this court conviction getting overturned. So, I mean, that doesn't mean he's getting out of jail or anything like that. But they basically said that the judge in the last court case, they were asking questions. They were allowing witnesses on the stand that weren't really pertaining to the trial. And so it was tampering with evidence, essentially, and tampering with the court case. And so they felt like it wasn't fair. And that's why the conviction was overturned. Now they're trying to now re-get it back into court to try this trial over again and get a fair trial for, I guess, everyone involved.
So what do you think, Dex? I guess people want to know, is Harvey Weinstein going to get out of jail?
No, he's not getting out of jail. No.
Why is he even fighting this?
This is the second, he already got sent to jail for 30 years through a different court case. And now this is a second one. I think they just want to see justice. At the end of the day, they want to see him get something for being a terrible person, some kind of retribution.
It's a lot of work. People have a lot of money. It's crazy that Harvey, everything going on, this guy has so much money that he's able to afford, you know, these lawyers that are not cheap. Like, he's just
spending cash.
And I wonder if the lawyers, and then I wonder when these lawyers get to see with him immediately, if they bring him food. You know, are you allowed to do that? Like, they were allowed to bring him, like, hey, man,
does he still have to pick up the bill for the food, too?
Oh, I'm sure. But he's like, hey, listen, bring me a chicken parm sandwich. Like, I wonder how that works. Like, I would be like, dude, bring me a taco. I'm starving. The food sucks. That's why he might be just doing this case just to sneak in, get some food. You know, it's just a meal for him. All right, Dax. Yeah.
Got to pay millions of dollars just to get some extra food on the side.
Exactly. Dax, number six.
Jerry Seinfeld being very vocal, saying the extreme left and this PC crap is killing TV comedy. He is not one.
That's a big statement. Yeah, that is a big statement coming from a guy like Jerry who, you know, loves to be known as, you know, he doesn't curse in his acts. He's a very clean comic. So for him to say that stuff about about the, you know, PC crap and how the woke culture out there is kind of hurting comedy says a lot about the state of comedy
and
right now.
You know what? He is not the only comedian to be saying this, but he did an interview with the New Yorker. You know, he's got his big Netflix comedy special that's coming out. He's got the comedy, the movie, the origin of Pop-Tarts also coming out on Netflix. But he is basically saying, look, you know, if he said some of the jokes from the 90s that was on his show, he's like, cancel culture would kill him today. He's like, there's no way that a lot of the plots that were on Seinfeld would fly in today's culture. And he's like, that is one of the problems. He's like, comedy shouldn't be one of those things that is criticized and is canceled like everything else in the world, because people need comedy. He goes, nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly and they don't get it. And I think he has a point there. We should be able to have some topics in comedy that everyone can laugh at and go, these are jokes. Let's not kill everyone for trying to make us laugh. Do you agree?
I totally agree. It's hard to
be
creative.
Well, you're a comedian, so like, what do you talk about? Like, how do you walk that line?
No, it's a very difficult thing. I mean, it's starting to calm down. I remember after COVID, when I was doing shows, you got a lot more oohs from the crowd. It's starting to calm down where now they're starting to come back and laugh a little bit more. It's hard to be creative. It's hard to be fun. It's
when
hard
all
to
you're
be
doing
funny.
Is worrying about who you're going to offend.
Yeah, when your back is against the wall. And, you know, it's in the back of your mind. And even though you don't meet it with any intention, it's like some people find it. They're not even offended. They're thinking for someone else. It's just a very, very eerie, weird time that everyone's trying to kind of navigate through. But I agree with Jerry Seinfeld completely. It's a very hard time for a comedian. But also, comedians also are saying, screw it. I'm not going to worry about pleasing the masses. I'm just going to do what I do. And I'm going to get my own fan base. And those are the people that are going to support me. And those are the people who come to my shows. I mean, look at guys like Shane Gillis, who just did SNL. Shane Gillis got kicked off SNL for a joke he made, and he's like, all right, he just kept going. He just kept grinding. What happened? He built his brand up to be huge and strong, and now he sells out theaters everywhere. He's doing TV. He's doing movies. He just hosted SNL. I mean, the guy's one of the most in-demand comedians because he just built his own audience. So I guess that's what you have to do as a comedian now, but cool for Jerry Seinfeld to sort of speak up regarding this. Dax, the number five story.
Travis Kelce becoming a very, very rich man. He signed a new two-year contract extension, making him the highest paid tight end in the NFL. And I think this might be the first sports story we have ever done on the Raw Rundown.
It's weird, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've covered really any sports stories, but because he is tied in so deeply with entertainment news at this point, being Taylor Swift's boyfriend, of course, this makes all the entertainment rounds as well. So, you know, he is 34 years old. He's just signed this extension. He was making like $17 million a year, I believe. This makes it more than $17 million a year. They didn't give out an exact number. No one really knows how much, but that means he's making more than $17 million because his previous contract was at 14.3, and Darren Waller, who's on the New York Giants, makes 17 per year. So that means he has to make more than that. And honestly, it seems like a no-brainer. The amount of eyes and viewers that came to the NFL, I bet if the Chiefs didn't want to pay his salary, I bet you the NFL would have been like, we will supplement some of it because of how many people are watching the NFL in this like younger demographic that started to watch this year?
Yeah, if I was an NFL owner, I would give whatever you can give to Travis Kelce. Two reasons. A, he's good. B, the press around him, the allure about him, the attention, the excitement around him. You want to just see him. And then you got the Taylor Swift effect. I mean, it's a great thing for business. So he's deserving of the money. He backs it up. He does a great job. I'm glad that I think it also says a lot about Travis, because here he is now a star. And he is a star now. You would think some people say, hey, go play in LA, go play in New York, you know, where there's the big market and there's more opportunities. And he's staying in Kansas City. I think that says a lot about him.
Yeah, he's staying with Mahomes. He can't leave Mahomes. There's no way. They're the, you know, the super team. They're like, I don't know. Wait, I'm like trying to think of all these like sports things. I'm like, no one's going to know what we're talking about here. We got to move on.
All right, Dex, what number are we on? We're at, I mean, listen, good on him. Dex, the number four story.
Number four, Dan Schneider fighting back against the Quiet on the Set investigation discovery, a limited series that basically just made him look terrible about some of the kids' TV shows that he produced in the early 90s and late 90s, early 2000s. He has now filed a lawsuit against the producers of that show, saying that they basically making him look really bad. He said that, look, I've apologized for my behavior and how it was depicted on Quiet on the Set. I vowed to hold myself more accountable for how I acted on the Nickelodeon shows, and has been very regretful for the way that he made people feel. He goes, however, the problem comes with tying him into these other child predators that worked with him as if he condoned it or he turned a blind eye to it. He goes, that's not the case. I didn't know that there were child predators in the industry that I was working alongside of. So you can come after me for being a shitty boss. You can come after me for the things that I said, but do not lump me in with child predators. That is the line. He goes, so I have to unfortunately file this lawsuit because I need to make sure that people know that that is not who I am. And it's damaging my reputation. It's damaging my relationships with my friends, family, everyone because of this connection. So if that is the case, then I can understand why he would need to file a lawsuit.
Regardless where you stand on this, I have to say what he's doing is, I understand his situation. You know, he's trying to clear his name a little bit. Like, he wasn't arrested.
And we're not saying he's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. But there's a big difference between being a really shitty boss and for, you know, inappropriately touching underage kids. You know what I'm saying? So let's put everything into perspective.
I totally understand what he's doing, and it's I don't want to say it's respectful. It's like he's trying to kind of clear his name a little bit, and not in a. It's all bad, but it's
bad. But he did take accountability and acknowledge that he did some shitty things in the past, and I do like when people just own up to, you know, bad behavior and say, hey, I'm sorry, I did some shit. I appreciate that more than people who hide from it.
Yeah. I don't want to say good on him, but became a big story this week. It's been that documentary got a lot of, I was waiting for him to kind of speak up, you know, and do something about this because it was a little bit aggressive and rightfully so, it should have been. And he did. All right, Dax, number three.
Number three, Dwayne The Rock Johnson just getting crucified about his ego, his unprofessionalism, all in a new report. And this is something that there's been rumors about for years, but now it seems like it's coming a lot more to light. There's a new report in The Wrap describing how Johnson is chronically tardy. He is... his ego has kind of taken over and it has ruined a lot of relationships, friendships on the sets. It sounds like he shows up hours and hours late to the set. And this isn't just one movie. It's been numerous movies. I guess he allegedly showed up to 8 hours late on his latest film, Red One, which basically got a lot of people upset. Because you got to realize, when it comes to a movie set, you've got hundreds of people there. And it needs to be timed out so that you don't have your crew sitting around too much. Because any film is already a lot of sit around while they adjust the lights. And then you go, and then they adjust the lights. And so there's a lot of stopping. But if you can't actually start production for 8 hours because someone didn't show up and they clearly don't care, that's costing the production company a lot of money. You've got big egos who are also, they showed up on time, they got their makeup done, they're ready to go, and now they're just sitting around waiting for you. I can see how this causes a lot of stress and friction on a set. But I guess on Red One, it turned this like Christmas theme action comedy into a massive budget issue where it ballooned the budget more than $250 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I guess this has happened. We remember that he got into it with Ryan Reynolds when they did their movie. What was the name of that movie? Do you remember?
Was it Red something?
I think Red Notice.
Red Notice. Yes. Yeah.
So apparently he was showing up to set very late, to a point where Ryan Reynolds confronted him and was just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you've got me, Gal Gadot here, you've got all these crew members, and you're just kind of coming and going as you please. I guess he has to do like a 3-hour workout every single morning. And so that's kind of built in. But if he wakes up late and then works out before coming to the set, and everyone's just sitting there waiting on him, twiddling their thumbs, it's kind of a dick move. And again, this has been something that has been said for many, many years, but it seems like it's coming to light more and more now.
Yeah. You wonder if that, I've always been curious if, like, when you have a shoot, if these guys go on time. I think that's part of what makes you a star in Hollywood. If you're easy to work with, they do not want to spend money when they don't have to. And you're dealing with a lot of unions and union fees and union, you know, legally the teams have to take lunch at a certain time. It has to kind of, you know, orchestrate
if you're 8 hours late, half those extras, their shift is done at that point. So now you're a production crew going, well, where do we get 80 new extras to film this scene in a matter of moments because you showed up, you know, 8 hours late? There's rumors that he was late to the Baller set, rumors late that he was to the Rampage set, that he was late to WrestleMania, that he just doesn't care when it comes to time management.
Yeah, it's a big no-no. And I think it becomes also an ego thing too. I would love to be on a film set. You know, I've been on small film sets. I never acted on it. I never worked on it. But to be like really in the film set to see how these people work, who shows up in time, does Timothée Chalamet hang out with the crew, or does he like go from his trailer, do a scene, and go back to the trailer? I'm just curious. Like, I remember my buddy Matt was working on Lincoln, Steven Spielberg. And, you know, I loved his stories because he said Spielberg would be the first one on set every day. And he'd put his hands together, like kind of seeing the movie through his hands, like a screen. Like that's how he kind of worked. Spielberg kept using his hands like this to kind of see like how it would look in the movies. I thought it was really cool to see him as a visionary guy. I know he's the first one on set. And then actually he had great stories about Daniel Day-Lewis. And Daniel Day-Lewis was like, he was Abraham Lincoln all day and night. And he said Abraham Lincoln, Daniel Day-Lewis, was always there on time. And then the crew was told not to kind of talk to Daniel Day-Lewis because he's one of those actors that he stays in character all the time.
What is that, method acting, where you're just like in it?
He's just in it. He's method acting. And then he wouldn't even have a trailer. He would have a tent with a wooden rocking chair that he would go from doing the movie to the wooden rocking chair just rocking. He goes, it was the craziest, most unique thing, and just became like accepted. Then one day he's like standing there and Daniel Day-Lewis just came up to him dressed as Abraham Lincoln. He's like, yeah, what's going on with the weather today? Like, and just start talking about the weather. He's like, I'm not supposed to talk to you, but yeah, it's a nice day. And they just start talking about the weather. I'm like, man, that's like, it's just a very unique thing to like work with a crew and you don't talk to them. Yet again, they're 4 feet away from you. You're working together for 4 months.
That is weird. But, awkward.
Yeah. The Rock got put in check. Dax, the number two story.
Melissa McCartney finally reacting to Barbara Streisand's awkward question about Ozempic. If you were following this news story this week, basically Melissa posted a photo of her, and I want to say it was a director, and she looked really pretty in this like green dress, and Barbara Streisand went on there on her Instagram and basically said, "Hey, you look great. Are you taking Ozempic?" And instantly everyone just started ridiculing her, be like, "Why would you ask that? That is so rude." She got a lot of heat for it. She ended up posting a little comment that said, "Oh my God," this is Barbara Streisand, by the way, who posted, "Oh my God, I went on Instagram to see photos we'd posted of this beautiful flowers I'd received for my birthday. Below them was a photo of my friend Melissa McCartney, who I sang with on my Encore album. She looked fantastic. I just wanted to pay her a compliment. I forgot the world was reading." Well, Melissa didn't really say anything until she posted a video, and it's actually like a really cute video. It's her, and she has Barbara Streisand's book over her face, and it says Barbara, celebrating an icon. And she basically says, "The takeaway, Barbara Streisand knows I exist. She reached out to me, and she thought I looked good. I win the day." And I thought, what a classy way to just kind of kill all of the hate that's going towards Barbara Streisand. And then in the comments, it said Barbara Streisand fan club members only. So I thought she handled that really well. And she probably knew, look, Barbara didn't mean anything by it. It was a, you know, just a comment, and it wasn't meant to be rude or mean. And I'm sure Barbara reached out to her privately to say something anyway.
Yeah, they, I saw that live, that comment. Like I was looking online, I saw Melissa McCarthy on my scroll, and I saw that comment, Barbara Streisand. I was like, what is that? And if you wonder if it would have got as much heat if she said that on Courtney Cox's Instagram. Like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, is it just because a bigger deal because Melissa McCarthy is not the same size as a Courtney Cox? And obviously you guys know what I'm going with that. It got taken out of context a little bit, and people didn't know the relationship. At the end of the day, I think with all that going on, Melissa McCarthy handled everything with like class, respect, and just
it was perfect way to handle it.
Yeah, for sure. But a lot of people went in on Barbara Streisand. Dax, the number one story of the week.
Number one story of the week. There's a story out there saying that Britney Spears is completely dysfunctional and in danger of going broke. So TMZ posted a big old story this week claiming that she is in serious danger on both the mental and financial front, and it's getting way worse, and that people in her life believe she needs to be under a conservatorship once again, that she's got these radical mood swings, and people closer saying that it's really shocking to be around her. She is spending insane amounts of money, traveling around the world, going to the French Polynesia, staying at the Brando Hotel, and spending up to like $2 million a trip, where she'll just stay and spend all this kind of money. She'll go to the Four Seasons presidential suite in Hawaii, drop $350,000 a trip, and she is just blowing through it. They claim that she can't afford this. She had $60 million when the conservatorship ended, and now she's in danger of going broke. We know that she's paid almost $4 million to her attorney for all the different legal stuff that they've been going through. On top of that, her and Sam basically just finalized their divorce. It doesn't sound like much is going to him, so not to worry on that front. She had a very solid prenup where it seemed like he was going to fight it, but didn't end up fighting it too much. It's too ironclad at this point. Plus, she had Laura Wasser as her attorney, so he wasn't going to get much out of that. She did pay for his apartment for a while. I don't know how long that's going to go for, but it really doesn't sound like he's getting much more than that. So anyway, I would say that I'm not completely surprised about this story. I do get very concerned when I see her Instagram page. I don't feel like she's well, but I mean, what do you do in this situation, dude? Like, clearly she doesn't want to be in a conservatorship. Clearly, you know, that is not the ideal thing, but what do you do when you see someone spiral so completely out of control?
Yeah. I mean, for Britney Spears to possibly be going broke, which I don't even know how a story like that really comes out. It must be coming from someone internally, or they're just throwing it out there. But regardless, I mean, Britney, ever since she's got off the conservatorship, has been a...
Well, she looked really happy at the beginning, but ever since then, yes. Now I'm just like...
We were happy for it, but maybe, yeah. I don't know. When it comes to, I know it's a sensitive topic. I know it's a hot topic. Maybe her dad was right. Maybe her dad was, you know, like trying to do what's best for her.
I don't know if it was her dad, but maybe just people in her life that thought she just needed a little more handholding. And maybe her dad wasn't the right person to be in charge of the conservatorship, you know, because people have pretty strong feelings about that. But I do feel like she needs some guardrails in her life, because at the end of the day, you don't want to see her go broke. You don't want to see her, you know, break down on social media, because she posts some weird stuff, dude. Like some really weird stuff that I just want to be like, someone, for dear God, just take away her password for Instagram. Like, she needs to stop.
What are the chances that she gets back more into music? You know, obviously the financial troubles.
That's not gonna happen. Nah.
If she's struggling to make money, Dax, you don't
right
think-
now there's no way that she could, dude. Like, she puts up the weirdest stuff on social media. There's no way that she is going to be able to be on stage, put out music, all that stuff. There's no way.
So then how does she pay her bills? She's going broke. She has costs. How does she,
well,
how does Britney Spears make money?
She's got her music that still gets played. They're still licensing it. They're, you know, she's making money other ways. And that's what happens when you're a big artist. People are licensing that stuff in movies and TV shows and, you know, Spotify or whatever, and she's making money, but she's probably spending it quicker than it's coming in at this point.
We're not even 6 months into 2024. I'm curious how 2024 ends with Britney Spears. You know, I just...
Well, if someone doesn't step in somehow to help, then I'm afraid that you know... At this point, you start to wonder, will she make it to 2025? And I know that's a really sad thing to say, but she spirals a lot, guys, like a lot. And it makes me very nervous. And you know what's interesting is her sister said the same thing. If there was a video that she put up this week, Britney did, where she sounded very incoherent, and she called her sister a little bitch and a little slut or something like that. And basically, Jamie Lynn ended up responding and saying, look, I'm not sweating any of these like nasty comments that I'm getting from Britney. She goes, honestly, I'm just happy to know that she's alive, that every time she fires off something on social media, every little comment is a sign that Britney is alive. And I'm like, that's also very telling that like your sister is so concerned about you that you can talk shit on her. And she's like, you know what? She's still breathing. That's a plus in my book.
That says a lot about the relationship and what's going on with Britney currently.
Seemed like they had mended a lot of their relationship. I just think that Britney kind of will go back and forth. One minute she loves her sister, her family, her mom. Next minute she's trashing them. I think that's just part of the mental illness that Britney's dealing with, unfortunately. Okay, hold up. Another story just broke about Britney as we're literally talking about her mental health. TMZ just posted a story saying that it looks like paramedics and police were called to a hotel because they feared that she was having a mental breakdown. Okay, so basically the story is saying that Britney got into a huge fight with her boyfriend on Wednesday night. It ended up getting out of control. Looks like she was crying, possibly cut, and almost driven away in an ambulance. So according to the story up on TMZ, Britney got to the Chateau Marmont late Wednesday night with her boyfriend. Didn't even know really she had a boyfriend still. I thought that was just a story. Okay, anyway. And there was some kind of disturbance, and someone called the police claiming a woman matching Britney's description was harassing and threatening hotel employees and guests. Officers showed up around 10:30 p.m., but they saw no signs of trouble and left. The story goes on to say that Britney and Paul retreated to a hotel room around 11 p.m. where they continued partying and drinking. While they were in their room, they ended up getting into a huge altercation, and that turned physical, according to sources, and Britney may have hurt her leg at some point. They were told that Britney was screaming and quote-unquote out of control in the hallway of her suite, and several guests thought she was having a mental breakdown, so paramedics were called. It looks like while they were told to call the paramedics for a possible injured person, sources at the hotel told TMZ they feared it was a mental breakdown. It looks like the paramedics ended arriving around 12:40 a.m. They made contact with Brittany, who was walking out of the hotel with a pillow and blanket wrapped around her. She had clearly been crying. She did not get into the ambulance, but ended up leaving with her security without her boyfriend. If you want to see the photos, TMZ has up the photos on their website. Where, yeah, she's walking out. She's got like a brown blanket around her. She's got two pillows. I can't even see if she's actually wearing a top. It kind of looks like she's not. Like, I think I see a little bit of underboob because she's wearing tiny little shorts. She's barefoot walking out of the Chateau Marmont, but the pillows look to be covering her top area. Man, I don't know what's going on here, but yeah, more disturbing news on the Brittany front. I'm sure we'll hear more stories coming out in the next couple of days. It seems like TMZ, Daily Mail, they are all over this. Anyway, we will bring up any news that we see and keep you guys updated.
All right, guys, that is our Raw Rundown, where it's the top 10 stories of the week. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, give us a review. We'll appreciate it. We'll give you a shout out on the air. Follow Hollywood Raw at we have a TikTok page, we have an Instagram page, we have a private Facebook group called Off the Record, which if you're not in, you should be in because it's really fun and cool. Follow me at Adam Glenn, follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.